All right, Galatians chapter number 5 this morning. We're continuing our series in this book of the Bible, and we're following through this equation, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And as we think about Paul's letter, his writings, he's dealing with some of the heresy that's been brought in that says you've got to adhere to the Old Testament law in addition to Jesus in order to really enjoy all that God has for you. So circumcision, holy days, feast days, Old Testament, no, that's not the way it needs to be. It's Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That is the gospel formula, and we cannot add anything to the work of Christ for our salvation. We cannot add anything to the work of Christ to gain more acceptance, more approval, more favor from God. It is all through Jesus. And so as we begin looking at chapter 5, I wanted to first just take a quick look back, because I want you to notice there's kind of a pattern happening here as far as a spiritual picture. So if you throw that next slide up on the screen, you can see the anguish of childbirth. You see that in chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, from whom I am again in the anguish of childhood until Christ is formed in you. So he gives this picture of the anguish of childbirth because he so desperately wants to see the image of Christ formed in these believers. And then last week, we dropped down into verse 31. So brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. So it goes from the anguish of childbirth to the children of freedom, and now we have this beginning unpacking in chapter number 5 of the walk of this new life. And so what does this mean to be a child of freedom? Or in other words, now what? So yay, freedom! Now what? I mean, what does that mean? How do I interact with that truth on a regular and daily basis? That's what we're going to start getting into here in chapter number 5. As we think about this progression, it's easy to make the correlation spiritually when we consider the physical alternative. So we're familiar with, you know, pregnancy and labor and delivery and childbirth and child rearing and physical development. We bring that into the spiritual conversation, it makes sense. You know, it's funny how some things have changed and how some things haven't when it comes to this walk and just development and growth, things of that nature. Some things have changed, some things haven't. For instance, when I was younger, the sun would come up, I would get on my bike, I would take off from home, and I would not come back until dark. I would be gone just all day, just playing with my friends, going swimming, going to the river, going to the park, doing all the things I wanted to do, and then I would just come back as soon as it started getting dark because I was hungry and wanted to come home. Now, my daughter can't go into the living room without me saying, "Where are you going? What's going on in there? What's happening?" You know, out in front of our house, you know, there's like a little bend in the road. We live kind of in a circle drive. And I'm like, "You stay in front of the house. You stay where I can see you." Why? Like, things have changed. Like, we never did that. I mean, we used to make ramps with bricks. Anybody do that, you know? And like the more bricks you stacked, the cooler you were in the neighborhood, you know? And you know, you have the little 1x4 and crash and burn, no helmets, drinking from the garden hose, using real fireworks, you know, not California fireworks. I mean, real fireworks. And we all survived. We all survived. Things have definitely changed. When you think about all the childproofing that goes on, and this is no, I'm not being critical. So you're like, "Pastor Greg's no, we did the same thing, so I totally understand, but things are just different today." Here's one childproofing. Your home just got easy. Just do that, and you're gonna be good to go. I love this one. I childproof my house, but they still get in. I'm trying to block them out. And if worse comes to worse, there's always this alternative. Okay? So if you ever get in trouble and not sure what to do, duct tape applied correctly always works. Okay? So a lot has changed. But a lot has stayed the same, okay? A lot has stayed the same. For instance, when your child began making those developmental steps and started walking for the first time, and it goes even back before that, like, you know, lifting up their head, and then rolling over, and then scooting, and then crawling, and then they start lifting themselves up, and then they start walking across the coffee table, you know, and then all of a sudden, boom, they're free, and they're going. You're like, "Yeah, that's so awesome." You know, they're taking their first steps. Remember how excited you were when they started taking those first steps? Remember how excited you were when your child began to talk for the first time? Then some years go by and you're like, "What was I thinking teaching them to talk? I just want them to shut up. You know, just stop talking." But we get excited, you know, and that's transgenerational. It doesn't matter what, you know, we get excited about those first steps. We get excited about those first words. We get excited about seeing the growth and the development take place in their life. And the same thing is going on spiritually. There's the anguish of childbirth, there's children of freedom, and now there's the walk of this new life. In other words, now what? Now what? I'm a child of freedom. Yay! What difference does it make? Well, we're going to start talking about that here in chapter number 5. So if you take your Bibles, our custom is to stand for the opening reading of Scripture. So if you're able to, stand with us, please, as I read the first 15 verses of this chapter. It's page 1077 in that Bible we just handed out. The Bible says this, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you." Okay, Old Testament ritual. "I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well," verse 7, "who hindered you from leaven?" Leaven's the whole lump. "I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brother, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these moments we have together. We ask your blessing on the teaching of your word. Lord, thank you for each one that's come in today. Lord, everyone comes in with something. And so, Father, I pray that whatever we have brought in with us today, that you would meet us right where we are, encourage us, help us, and bless us as we go through your word this morning. Lord, we ask your continued blessing on our church family, those who are in need, Charlene, who is recovering in the hospital. Father, we want to continue to lift up our friends to the north and to the west who are dealing with the fires, and our first responders and families who have been so devastated. Lord, just for your care and comfort in a way that only you can during this time. Bless them and encourage them, we pray. Lord, thank you for these opportunities that we have. Thank you for our freedoms. Thank you for the privilege to just come together to openly worship and praise you and to open your word. Bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, everybody. You may be seated. All right, so three quick things, and you've got some notes in your bulletin if you want to follow along with us today as we unpack this. Yay, freedom. Now what? Number one, the claim to freedom is continuous. The claim to freedom is continuous. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. We have this freedom. It is ours in Jesus. Jesus paid it all. Jesus accomplished all that we could not accomplish for ourselves. It is done. It is finished. Our rest is in him. Our freedom is in him. But the claim to that freedom needs to be continuous. Why? Because sometimes we don't act like we're free. We keep going back to that bondage. We keep going back to that legalism. We keep going back to the list of things that say, if I just do these things, God will be more pleased with me. And he says, don't do that. Your claim to freedom must be continuous. I'd illustrate it this way. So my dog at home is Madison. This is Madison, okay? And that's Madison's kennel. And when we're gone, so right now Madison's in the kennel. So I said this last night and said, you made me pray for your dog. You know, like right in that moment, I prayed for your dog is sitting at home in the kennel. And Madison goes in the kennel because Madison can't be trusted in the house with all the Star Wars stuff. Like, in the kennel you go. And she's very good about going to the kennel to the point where when she senses that that we're getting ready to leave, she just goes into her kennel. So I'm the kind of guy, I can't stand, you know, I don't brush my teeth in the back. I walk around the house, you know, I just kind of walk around the house and brush my teeth. And it's like a trigger, like she knows, like, okay, you know, he's getting ready to go to work, so I need to go into my kennel. And this was actually yesterday, and I was like, Madison, like, it's fine. Like, you know, Tracy's here, Kayla's here, great. You know, there are people here in the house. You don't have to go into the kennel. And some of y'all are living in the kennel. You've got this freedom. You've got this wonderful blessing of the finished work of Jesus resting on your life, and you keep trying to conform to the list because you're trying to make God more happy with you. Get out of the kennel. Enjoy the freedom that you've been given. Make your claim to that freedom a continual something. When he says here, stand firm, therefore, in the Greek, it literally means keep standing firm. Because there's going to be this inertia toward, I need to go back to the list. I need to go back to the legalism. I need to go back to the things that I think are going to make me more acceptable to God. And those things aren't the case. If you accept just a little bit of bondage, you get the whole thing. He says, if you accept circumcision, verse 3, you're obligated to keep the whole law. When you put yourself under one part of the law, you obligate yourself to the whole of the law. And if you don't believe this, try this out the next time you get pulled over by a police officer for speeding. And when you have that conversation with the police officer, say, but officer, I've never murdered anybody. I've never stolen anything. I'm faithful to my wife. I obey all the other traffic signals. I do all this stuff. You know, can you please let me off because I do everything else right? He's going to laugh at you and say, no, like you're still getting a ticket. Because that, it doesn't matter how much obedience we have in other areas. If we're guilty in one area, the Bible says we are guilty of all. So we cannot accept that. We've got to have this continuous claim to the freedom that is ours through Jesus. Before we move on, I want to deal with verse number 4, and this is a great example of both the blessing and the challenge of expository teaching. Expository teaching simply means you're going through the Bible verse by verse by verse, because there are some verses in the Bible where it'd be easy to be like, we're just going to skip over this one, you know, because this one's kind of difficult, or this one's maybe a little bit hard to understand or whatever. And so I want to address verse number 4 before we move on, because it's really captivating. It says, you are severed from Christ, you who would be, that mean in relationship to my standing with God, am I eternally secure? So let's talk just a minute about eternal security. Can I lose my salvation? What does that all look like? Well, I think the Bible is really, really clear that salvation is completely by grace. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay? When I get to heaven, it's not going to be like, yeah, check it out. Look at all the wonderful things I did. That's why I'm here. No, it is all of grace. It is all of Jesus. It is Jesus plus nothing equals everything. So if there's nothing I could do to earn my salvation, there's nothing I can do to lose my salvation. The Bible says if you have the Son, you have life. If you have the Son, you have life. And Jesus said that no one can pluck you out of the Father's hand. You are completely secure in the hand of God. If you know Jesus as your Savior, if you are his follower, you are eternally secure. I wanted to read just a couple paragraphs from Tim Keller's book. I've been referencing this throughout the series on this subject because he's way smarter than me, and I just wanted to share a few of his words about verse number 4. He writes, does verse 4 mean that the real Christians can lose their salvation, can truly fall away from grace? It can appear that way. But as we will see immediately below in verses 5 and 6, Christians base their whole lives on the assurance and certainty of their present and future acceptance with God. Assurance of salvation is not possible if we think we must earn or even maintain our salvation by our efforts. If we keep ourselves saved by good living, how could we ever be sure we were being good enough to retain God's favor? Like, who makes that determination, right? Yet the Bible often says that we Christians can know we are safe and saved, 1 John 2:3, among others. In other words, we didn't earn our salvation by our behavior, and we can't unearn it by our behavior. John says of anyone who turns their back on the faith permanently, they were not of us. This is 1 John 2:19. They were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. His point is that true Christians are saved by grace, and show they are Christians by continuing to trust in grace. Equally, those who fall away from grace never really trusted in it in the first place. This is why Paul is able to say in Galatians 5:10, I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. He believes that they, the Galatian believers, they are real Christians. And so their positive response to his warning will show that they do believe the gospel from the heart. But Christians still need to hear the warning of verses 2 to 4. Paul is saying, in essence, no matter that you insist you've been converted or say you feel Christ has changed your life, if by deciding your salvation rests in any way on your performance, you deny salvation by faith alone in Christ alone, which I'm confident you won't, you can't be saved by him. He is saying this is an acid test of whether someone is a Christian or not. I don't know about you, but I am super, super grateful today that my salvation, my security, my standing before God is based solely on what Jesus did for me and not because of what I'm doing and adding to the table. Can I get an amen? Amen. It is not about what I bring. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did what I could not do, and I am resting in his finished work, and as a result, I am eternally secure in him. I can have that confidence for which I am so incredibly grateful. So the claim to freedom is continuous. Number two, next, we need to listen to the right voices. Listen to the right voices. Verse number 7 says, "You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you." It's like, you were running well. You were doing so good. You were walking. You were taking those steps. You were doing so good. We're so excited for you. And you began to be influenced by these other voices. And there are so many voices vying for your attention. Whether it's in education, whether it's culture, whether it's media, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's the church, whether it's the Bible, whether it's the Holy Spirit, there's just all of this volume projected at you. And it is so important that we listen to the right voices because they are informing our worldview. Be careful who you're being influenced by. And let me say quick, I've made this point in all the messages, want to do it again. There's nothing wrong with being informed. I encourage you to be informed. I encourage you to engage in conversations and the understanding of other disciplines and other viewpoints. I'm not suggesting a version of Christianity that just kind of sticks our head in the sand or we're just kind of like, la, 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 I just don't want to hear any of it. But be careful about what you're allowing to influence you. Jim Rohn says it this way. You become like the five people you spend the most time with. Choose carefully. Think about the five people you spend the most time with. Statistically speaking, you will become an average of those five people. What voices are you listening to? What are you being influenced by? He says, this is not of God. Be careful about that. The book of Proverbs has some great teaching on relationships and friendships. The ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. 22:24-25, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. I love the visual picture there. You know, we're kind of going after these people. We're going after that person. We're being influenced, and all of a sudden we're entangled. Like, I can't get out. That's what he's saying. Be careful. 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. 17:17, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And 12:26, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Are you listening to the right voices? Are you being influenced in the right way? The Galatian believers were not. They were being persuaded by something that was not from God, and it was affecting where they were. We have that same warning given to us today. So quick word. So who's going to school? Where are the students that are going to school this week? Lift up your hand. I'm not going to trick you anything. Just who's going to school, all right? I don't sense a lot of joy right there in those hand raising, you know? Okay. Quick word, okay? Take this into your school year. I don't care if you're in a public school, private school, charter school, home. I don't care what kind of environment you find yourself in. Choose well. Choose your friends well. Choose those influencers well. Be friendly to everybody, But be careful who you're allowing to influence you. And make that choice today. Make that choice before you leave the building. Don't wait until you're in that pressure cooker moment of, what am I going to do? Which direction am I going to go? This is what's being said, or this is what's being done, or this is where I'm being pushed, this is where I'm being prodded. Make that choice today. I'm super grateful. I've shared, you know, my story. I was raised in a single-parent home, so I was raised by my mom and my grandma, and I'm thankful for their influence. I had a wonderful pastor who shepherded me through my formative years. I had great youth leaders. I had a great coach. I had a great teacher. I had lots of adults in my life that were a real blessing and encouragement to me. But I am as convinced as I am standing here that one of the reasons I am the pastor of this church today is because I surrounded myself with good Christian friends in high school and college. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to surround yourself with people that will bring positivity and will bring that kind of energy and positive peer pressure and encouragement and help and accountability into your life. Let me encourage you students, going back to school, most of you this week, make that right choice. Listen to the right voices. Be careful who you're being influenced by. These Galatian believers were being persuaded negatively, and we need to be reminded to listen to the right voices. And let me just say quickly, I put the church in that list. Even us, okay, the Apostle Paul, one thing I love about the Apostle Paul is like, hey, Paul's saying, I don't get a free pass, even I. And I'm telling you here today, I don't get a free pass. This church doesn't get a free pass. The equation has always got to be Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And if we stray from that message, you hold us accountable. You hold me accountable. I love this verse in Acts 17. It's too small on the screen, but if you want to look it up later, Acts 17:11 about the Berean believers. Now, these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. They didn't just take their word for it. They were checking up and saying, okay, is this real? Is this the way it's supposed to be? Is what I'm hearing conforming with what I know the word says? Very important to be listening to the right voices. And then just quickly, we're not gonna dwell there for lots of obvious reasons, because we like to keep things PG around here, and this is kind of a PG 14, 15 kind of a verse. Verse number 12, I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. Hello. Okay, Paul has no tolerance for this. Like, okay, they're going to force circumcision. Let's just go all the way. Like, that's what I wish happens to these false teachers. He has no tolerance for them. He says exactly, you know, let them bear the penalty, whatever it is. Amazing. Okay, so we need to listen to the right voices. And then number three, lastly, the law does not save, but faith works. The law does not save, but faith works. Up in verse number 6, it says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Faith working through love. I shared a message a few weeks ago before I left on vacation, and it was called Resting, Not Napping. Maybe you're here for that. And the whole idea of that message was, you know, we're resting in the finished work of Jesus. But it doesn't mean, yay, now I'm saved, I'm a believer, I know Jesus is my Savior, so now I get to go sleep in a hammock until Jesus comes back out in the backyard. I get just kind of hang out. No, we're resting in His finished work, but that doesn't mean we're napping. There's stuff to do, there are people to serve, there are people to reach. Same kind of thing is happening here in chapter 5. We are free, but we're not free for ourselves, we're free for other people. As you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. You often see this kind of paradigm of these three words, legalism, license, or liberty. You know, legalism being kind of enslaved to the law, to the rules, to the regulation, to the boxes that need to be checked, okay? And then you've got license, which is like, hey, like, it doesn't matter, I'm free, so I can just do whatever I want to do and don't have to worry about the consequences because, you know, I'm eternally secure and I'm just going to do whatever I want to. Okay, that's not what's happening either, okay? True liberty is willingly enslaved to the direction of the Spirit. We are free from and we are free to. Free from and free to. And so loving and serving others is at the core of this freedom. we have been given. And so enter our Be the Church shirts. So this was a little bit of a social experiment to see who's actually following me on Facebook. Okay, so congratulations, you know, those of you that are doing that. Totally an impromptu thing. So if you're like, gosh, I didn't know we were like supposed to wear a special uniform today. No, I just kind of impromptu put it on Facebook, said, hey, if you got to Be the Church shirt, wear it, because I'm going to reference this Faith Works, you know, component. And we still have a few left in the back. So if you want to get a shirt, please take one today. I had to pick up a new shirt today because this is the shirt. Here's Be the Church Sunday from last spring. Here's the shirt I was wearing in that picture. And here's the shirt I was wearing for softball, and I had to go down another size. Woo! So 72 pounds this week, so awesome. 6 months, so super excited. So Be the Church Sunday. So we've got this annual day. It's 2 weeks before Easter, so whatever that is in 2019. We get together, we go out in the community, we do lots of stuff, we prepare for our Easter egg hunt, we canvass neighborhoods, we go to the nursing home, we feed the homeless, we do school beautification projects, highway cleanup, we just do all sorts of stuff, and it's just a great demonstration of, you know, our desire. We want it to be something that we do all the time, obviously, but we want it to be a real intentional something that is part of the fabric and DNA of our church. And so I asked Jerry Gregg, and Jerry does all of our kind of logo and design type stuff around here, photos, and he does such a great job. And I said, Jerry, we need a logo. Like, we need something for, you know, for Be the Church Sunday. And he came up with this, Faith Works. And we've used this as kind of a double meaning statement that faith bold works. You know, faith works. Okay? Prayer works. God works. Jesus works. The Spirit works. It's not just like crossing our fingers and hoping and wishing upon a star. No, faith works. We believe that. But it's also faith bold works. Faith doesn't just sit around. Faith doesn't just, you know, point out where all the things that are going wrong. Faith is engaged. Faith works. Faith is involved. And we see that being unpacked for us here in chapter number 5. And we see it in two very specific ways. Verse number 13, through love serve one another. And verse 14, the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Say, yay, I'm a child of freedom. I'm resting in the finished work of Jesus. Now what? Are you ready? Love everybody and serve everybody. That's it. Love everybody and serve everybody. And in case there's any question about, like, the buddy, if they're Christian or atheist, if they're Democrat or Republican, if they're gay or straight, if they're black or white, if they're legal or illegal, if they're a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, love everybody, serve everybody. That's what it's for. That's what this freedom. We are unleashed to do what we could, what we had to do under the law before, and now we are free. And in our freedom, we're able to love and serve the people that are around us. Love becomes the motivator for our service. Can I tell you a secret? Just between us and the millions of people who have access to it on the internet, you know, and the 9 o'clock service. There are things, not everything that I do for my wife is because I want to do it. But there are things that I do for my wife because I don't love those things, but I love her. Like going to Mamma Mia. Come on. I haven't seen the sequel yet, so it's kind of hovering over me, you know? Why? Like, I drag her to all these Marvel movies and Star Wars movies and all this stuff, and like, you know, Greg, come on. I would not on my own, even with MoviePass, go see Mamma Mia. But because I love my wife, I will do that. And there will be things that you will be asked to do. There will be things that you are prompted to do. There will be things that the Holy Spirit comes knocking on your door, and then he's asking you to do, and you'll be like, well, I don't want to do that. get love become the motivator for your service. That's completely foreign under the law and under a legalistic system. You are now free to love and to serve. And I want to encourage you to do that. Ask God to grow your heart. Ask God to give you a love for others. And then look for those opportunities. Man, I really want to put some shoe leather to this message this morning. I want you to go out there and love on someone this week. Serve someone this week. Love someone that you don't even like. Serve someone that you know you're not going to get any gratitude from. Because that's what we're called to do. And with this freedom, we can. Be careful of the contrast. Verse number 15. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And I read this the first time and I was like, man, it's a good thing that never happens in church. Cool. That never happens. That never happens in our relationships. We're always just, it's always sweetness and light. Wrong. We gossip and we speak maliciously about people and we snip and we snipe and we, you know, do all this kind of stuff. That is not good for you. That is not good for your relationships. It's not good for this church. It's not good for our community. It's not good for your workplace. It's not good for your classroom. Don't do it. Use that freedom not to indulge in your flesh, but to love and serve everyone. Let your faith work through love. Before he got out of prison in February of 2016, 69-year-old Albert Woodfox had spent 43 years in an isolation cell. 43 years. As best I can tell, this is maybe not the cell, but the type of cell he would have been in for 43 years. He had set a record having spent the longest time in solitary confinement of any prisoner in America. He had no view of the sky from inside his 6-foot by 9-foot concrete box, no human contact, and taking a walk meant pacing from one end of the cell to the other and back again. 2 months after he was released, Woodfox found himself on a beach in Galveston, Texas, with a friend. He marveled at all the beachgoers under a cloudless sky. Then he stared out over the Gulf of Mexico as it stretched far out to the horizon. He said, quote, "It was so strange walking on the beach and all these people and kids running around," end quote. After over 4 decades of solitary confinement, you'd think Woodfox would be glad to be out in the open. However, 2 months after the state of Louisiana set him free, he said he sometimes wishes he was back in that cell. Someone asked him if he missed his life in lockdown, to which Woodfox passionately replied, quote, "Oh yeah, yeah." Then he explained, quote, "Human beings feel more comfortable in areas they are secure. In a cell, you have a routine. You pretty much know what is going to happen, when it's going to happen. But in society, it's difficult. It's looser. So there are moments when, yeah, I wish I was back in the security of a cell." You know, sometimes we feel more comfortable in the cell of legalism. Sometimes we feel more comfortable conforming to a code of conduct because we can check the right boxes on the list. Sometimes it's easier to comprehend an equation that says Jesus plus something, there must be something, I have to add, equaling to everything. But as someone who is resting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, you are free. So now what? Continue to claim it. Continue to claim that freedom. Don't go back again to that yoke of bondage and slavery. Listen to the right voices. Who are your influencers? Listen to the right voices. Let that faith be worked out in love and serve the people around you, both within these walls, working with kids and teenagers and making coffee and singing in the band and usher, all the stuff that goes on around here, and outside these walls. Our mission is right over there. Serve our congregation and community. It can't be just what happens inside this building. It's got to be expressing itself outside these walls. Serve the people around you this week. You are free to do that very thing. You know why? Because Jesus plus nothing equals what?
Everything.
Everything. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the time together. We love you. We love your word. We love the opportunities we have to gather. Thank you, Father, for the freedom that we enjoy in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to recognize that we are not simply free from certain things. We are now free to certain things, and that is to love and to serve all we come in contact with. Lord, I pray that you would work on our hearts, and may we truly put leather to this message as we walk out these doors and make a difference at our jobs and our schools and our neighborhoods and our classrooms and wherever we might be, Father, to love and serve people because we are now. Bless us as we go. Continue to encourage us. Continue to help us. We need your strength. We need your direction. This is still a battle that we fight. So help us as we engage this week to be that ambassador. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate y'all being here today. Thank you so much.